All right, so we are here with Soma. How are you doing?
Doing well. Good to see you, Charles.
Great to see you. And you are the Senior Vice President responsible for a lot of this goodness that we're getting in Visual Studio VNext.
Yep.
So I kind of wanted to ask you, I mean, there's so much information we learned yesterday and today. What's sort of on your mind with sort of the future of development?
Sure. So if you take a step back and think about, like, you know, hey, what is happening in the world of technology, in the world of, you know, computing landscape, there are a couple of things that are happening that I sort of want to highlight.
Okay.
First and foremost, as you know, or as we all know, for the last many years, there's been a proliferation of what I call smart devices with different form factors. Whether it is a smartphone or whether it is a tablet device or whether it's a PC or a laptop or a game console or whatever it is, we just see, like, you know, more and more, you know, interesting devices, interesting form factors coming out in the world.
Yes.
Now, as a consumer, you and I both have access to multiple devices at any given point in time, right? And the thing that we care about as a consumer the most is to make sure that our information and our experience flows through seamlessly from one device to the next, right? And so what I call as connected devices experience is what we all want. And the way to be able to deliver that is to have the devices stay connected to something on the back end. And more it is becoming clear that it is going to be a set of services on the cloud that the devices can stay connected to. So this is what we call, like, you know, hey, a set of connected devices and continuous services on the cloud. And together they're going to provide some very fantastic experiences for developers to take advantage of and to be able to deliver to their end users.
Excellent, excellent. So, as you know, please ask questions to Soma, #CH9 Live. I saw one come across the screen and they removed it, but I still think I want to ask that question. So,
okay.
You know, the question was, what is the future of .NET? I think we know that now, right? So what's your answer to that?
Right. First of all, you know, hey, we, you know, the thing to think about is this, right? In the last, you know, 10 years or 15 years, we focused a lot on what we call the professional developers, right? They have been a very important segment for us to target and make sure that we do the right things for them. And they will continue being a very, very important segment for us moving forward. At the same time, if you take a step back and look at, like, you know, hey, what is the world of software development looking like today, right? You know, earlier this year, there was a 14-year-old kid that wrote an app that became the most popular app in iTunes. That's a 14-year-old, okay? the two guys that are sitting in a garage thinking about, like, you know, hey, how can I build the next Angry Birds that's going to make me millions of dollars, right? There are many, many kinds of people that are coming together and saying, like, you know, hey, I want to build applications. I want to put it up on an app store. I want to go see, like, you know, hey, how much, you know, people like what I'm doing, the work that I'm doing, and how much money I can make in the process, kind of thing. And most of these guys don't even think about themselves as what I call professional developers, right? So today, if you take a broad look at the world of development, we think there are at least 100 million people who are building software in one way, shape, or form, okay? So what we heard yesterday, in terms of, like, you know, what we are planning on doing with Windows 8, what we are doing with, you know, Visual Studio 11, you know, the support we have for Metro style apps using C#, VB, C++, HTML, JavaScript, the fact that we absolutely are excited about people, you know, continuing to build and run, you know, .NET applications and Silverlight applications on the desktop, you know, we feel like, you know, hey, we want to live in a world where we want to give you, the developer, the choice.
Great.
So .NET absolutely has a role moving forward. Right, we, like we talked about yesterday, if you're a person who's taken a bet on .NET, who's taken a bet on XAML, who's taken a bet on C# or VB or pick your favorite language, we absolutely want to move you forward into the new world. We want to be able to bring your skill set forward, your expertise forward, and your code forward as well, as evidenced by the demo that, like, you know, Antoine did in the keynote yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Hey, so we fully, like, you know, believe in, like, you know, providing the broadest possible platform with choices for developers, and they can pick and choose what they want to do when they want to do.
Excellent. Well, there's your answer for whoever asked that. I think that's a great answer.
Great.
Now, you know, what are your thoughts on the C++ Renaissance?
Now? Yeah, sure.
Because remember, back in the, we've had many conversations over the years about the C++.
Absolutely.
And, you know, talk to me a little bit about that.
Right. Sure. You know, like we, you know, we've talked about in the past, right? I believe there is a large number of developers out there who are what I call, you know, hardcore C++ developers, right?
Yeah.
People who want to build applications that really are sort of, you know, hey, I want to get closer to the metal. I want to get a high level of performance, right? I want to be, you know, involved in native programming. There are enough people that do that. Like, you know, by last count, I think there are like, you know, several million developers out there in the world, and that number is only growing. In fact, one interesting statistic is, like, you know, we have a set of Express queues in Visual Studio 2010, C++ Express and C# Express and VB Express and, you know, this Express and that Express. The C++ Express, the number of downloads we see and the number of people using we see is huge, right? So one of the things that we've done is, like, you know, we sort of said, like, you know, hey, we need to focus even more on providing a fantastic set of tools and language experience for our C++ developers, particularly as we want, you know, the C++ developers to come into, like, you know, the world of Windows 8 and say, like, you know, hey, how do I build Metro-style applications using C++, right?
Yeah.
So we've done a lot of work in the language, in the compiler, in the tools, in the IDE, working hand in hand with the platform team, with the Windows platform team, to make sure that C++ is a first-class development opportunity and a choice for C++ developers. So I feel really good about the work that we've done. There's always more that we can do.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, with Visual Studio 11, we are taking a huge step forward in terms of, you know, C++ development.
Thank you for doing that on behalf of the millions of the C++ developers out there. That's awesome.
Thank you.
All right, we got questions coming in. Al, how are you doing, man? It's nice to see you again. It's been a while. Once and for all, Soma, is there a preferred development platform for Win8? So really what he's asking is, you know, do you have a, like, do we have a preferred platform? And, you know, I think I know what the answer is, but he's asking you.
Right.
So
I'll just repeat what I said like a couple of minutes ago, right?
Come on, Al.
You know, we absolutely believe in providing, like, you know, a first-class development story for C++ developers, for, you know, C# and VB developers, and for HTML and JavaScript developers, right? You know, that's a statement on the platform, that's a statement on the language support, that's a statement on the IDE and tool support, right? We really want you to decide, like, you know, hey, what works for you based on your skill set, the kind of application you're building, the kind of customers you're targeting, and you get to make the choice, and we'll absolutely support you on that with Windows 8 and with Visual Studio 11.
Excellent. So there's your answer.
Right.
Now keep asking questions to #CH9Live, #CH9Live, actually is a cooler name. Sprite XP wants to know, is Visual Studio 2011 the final name? Will it be released this year, or is this just a preview?
Right. We just released the developer preview for Visual Studio 11.
Yeah.
It's a code name. It's not the final name. We don't know what the final name is.
Yeah.
You know, like Steven Zinovsky mentioned yesterday,
mm-hmm.
at this point in time, we know that we are doing a lot of new things with this wave of products between Windows 8 and Visual Studio 11, right? Mm-hmm. We are going to take the time to make sure that we get the product or the set of products, you know, to the right level of quality. So that's what we are fixated on. So I can't really tell you, like, you know, when we are going to ship this or not kind of thing.
Sure.
But we know the next milestone for us is to be able to deliver a beta where that's sort of, you know, fully functional, feature complete beta kind of thing that we can deliver to the broad world.
Excellent. So thank you for asking questions. We have another one from Code Shoveler. I like that name. Will my devices talk to each other directly or indirectly through the cloud? Problem is, there are areas without connectivity. So when you talk about sort of this integrated, continuous services sort of environment, the reality of the situation is occasionally connected.
Right.
So what he's asking is, you know, what does that mean?
I think in this land of Wi-Fi kind of thing, you know, for a while there, I used to think, like, you know, hey, the last place on this earth where connectivity is still sort of a problem is when you're traveling by an airplane. Even that, like, you know, if you talk to the airline guys, you know, pretty much, you know, everybody knows that, like, you know, hey, Wi-Fi in a plane is sort of like, you know, it's not a question of, like, you know, if it is going to happen kind of thing. It's more like, you know, hey, when is it going to happen, right?
Sure.
Today you can get there. So the world is more and more getting to a connected place, and a lot of the scenarios and technology advances are sort of having a fundamental assumption that, like, you know, hey, the world is going to remain connected. At the same time, we know that there are still parts of the world or pockets of world where connectivity is not as robust or as strong as we need to be, right? So in those cases, like, you know, I think, you know, we still have the wired world, right? You can always use a wire to be able to talk. You can always use, you know, USB devices and other things to be able to share information between devices.
Mm-hmm.
But or if you are sort of behind a firewall, let's say, you can always think about an on-premise server as opposed to being on the public cloud kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no matter what, I think more and more we see a world where, you know, connected devices are going to be staying connected because of something on the back end, in this case, the cloud.
Absolutely.
Right.
And so in terms of the cloud, I mean, what are your thoughts on sort of the cloud as this computational fabric?
Right.
You know, where there's all kinds of, you know, you've got, what, a million cores, mm-hmm. you know, to some degree that you right. can take advantage of, mm-hmm. versus sort of the big database in the sky.
Right. So here is how I think about it, right? I think, you know, when you think about the cloud, the first thing that comes to my mind mm-hmm. is, you know, this is distributed computing that is really, really available to everybody and anybody in the world, right? That's what it is, because you've got a set of, you know, like you said, a computational fabric on the back end, and depending on what application you have and what your workload needs are, you can really, like, you know, take advantage of the whole fabric, so to speak, kind sure. of thing, right? Now, as much as, you know, we all talk about the cloud, I'll tell you this sort of anecdotal example, right? In the last 2 years or so now, I can tell you that I haven't had a single customer conversation where we haven't spent a substantive portion of our conversation talking about the cloud. People are excited about the cloud. People want to talk about the cloud. People want to know what it means for them to get on the cloud. Mm. But for all this hoopla and excitement, I'll tell you that, like, now we as a world are barely scratching the surface in terms of moving computing the way we know computing wholesale to the cloud, right? Some of us are going to be like, you know, hey, in sort of say like, hey, I'm ready to take the cloud bet, let me move today. I take a bet on the public cloud, and in some sense it's a chicken and egg problem, right?
Sure.
There are issues around reliability and security and all privacy and all that fun stuff that you care about. And the more people are willing to take a bet on the cloud, the more the cloud is going to harden and be ready for that. Right? So
yeah.
it's sort of a chicken and egg problem that needs to happen, but some people are willing to take the bet to go to the public cloud. Mm-hmm. But there are going to be other people, particularly, you know, enterprises, business customers, governments, people who sort of, you know, feel that they need to have a little bit more control on the data, on the environment, and they want to say, like, you know, hey, give me all the benefits of the cloud, but let me take a better control of the environment, right?
Yeah.
And that's why we have private cloud. You know, Microsoft talks a lot about, like, you know, hybrid cloud.
Yes.
Because we believe the world is going to, for a long, long time to come, there's going to be a number of people who are excited about the public cloud. There are some people who are excited about the private cloud. And we want to provide a platform and a set of services that sort of span both the private cloud and public cloud in a consistent way, so that you as the developer can take advantage of all the opportunities in the cloud, whether it's private or public or hybrid.
Excellent.
Right.
All right, we got some more questions. So this is from Plepalov. What is the future of F-sharp language in VS? Will it be integrated more with other VS tools?
I would say, like, you know, first of all, you know, sometime this week, I actually don't remember when there is a session on F-sharp by Don Sine here at Build, right?
Perfect.
I really encourage people who are excited about F-sharp
yeah.
to come there and sort of, you know, because he's going to, like, you know, walk you through all the goodness that we are doing with F-sharp mm-hmm. in Visual Studio 11, right?
Yeah.
I think there are, you know, a lot of enhancements that we are making mm-hmm. to really integrate F-sharp into Visual Studio and make it a first-class language from an IDE perspective. Some great work is happening there. There is also additional work that we are doing in terms of, like, you know, types and stuff like that, right? Mm. Strong types, for example, right? That is going to make it easy for people to be able to consume data and data objects in a seamless way. Think about, like, you know, bringing data as a concept into the programming language. That's what we are doing with F-sharp, right? And Don has got a lot of other good things to talk about F-sharp, so I do encourage people to go there.
Excellent.
It is a language that we are excited about.
All right. And, you know, that session will be on Channel 9 24 hours after it takes place.
Right.
So you guys should watch it and your questions will be answered. Ah, of course. How could we possibly have Soma and not have this question?
Right.
So Soma, what is the future of Silverlight and when will V5 be released?
Sure.
So two very different questions.
Yeah,
but
right. I'll start with the second question first and then come to the first question. So we just released the RC or the release candidate for Silverlight 5, I think about a week and a half ago or so. I think September 2nd or 3rd we put that out, right? And as we speak now, the team is busy heads down working on putting the finishing touches on Silverlight 5
mm-hmm.
and hopefully in the next many months.
Okay.
When we feel like, you know, hey, we are done and we have the right level of quality and all that fun stuff, right? We'll be able to release Silverlight V5, okay? And once we release Silverlight V5, then the team will think about, like, you know, hey, what next kind of thing, right? In parallel, we also know that we just released Mango, right?
Yes.
Where we have the Silverlight technology as part of the Windows Phone runtime that, you know, we are just putting out. And, like, you know, Steve Ballmer just finished talking about in his keynote, mm-hmm. hey, you write a Windows Phone 7 app or a Windows Phone 7.5 app today, that's going to continue running in the next version of Windows Phone, and after that kind of thing. Yesterday we heard from, you know, Stephen Sinofsky that, like, you know, hey, you have a Silverlight app that's running on Windows 7 today, mm-hmm. that'll absolutely run on Windows 8 kind of thing, right? Mm-hmm. So, and if you want to take your Silverlight app and think about, like, you know, hey, how do I make it a Metro-style app for Windows 8? You know, you can bring your code base forward because, you know, as we said yesterday, we do support XAML and C#. Mm-hmm. For you to be able to bring your code forward, you might have to make a few changes,
sure.
like Antoine demonstrated yesterday.
Yep.
But we absolutely want to bring you forward kind of thing, right? So that's how I think about this.
Great. And I mean, you know, and it's a fair question because people were concerned about the HTML5 thing, and that's just old news.
Right. The thing we want to definitely do, right, is our intent is absolutely to make sure that, you know, the investments that you as a developer have made in whatever technology you picked from us, right, we want to figure out a way for you to come along on this journey.
Absolutely.
We don't want to sort of, you know, leave you behind. Yeah. We don't want you to have to throw out your investments, right? So you bring your knowledge, your expertise, and your code base forward.
Excellent. So Iron Arch asks, will we get a single integrated Visual Studio Express instead of countless confusing editions?
I should tell you that this is something that we think about a lot.
Okay.
Okay? I do think that, like, you know, we are rethinking how we deliver Express queues, okay, with Visual Studio 11.
Okay.
I don't know that we are ready to talk about what it's going to look like and everything. Will it be, like, you know, one Visual Studio Express? Probably not. Will it be fewer? Maybe. Mm-hmm. But our goal is, like, really to make it, like, less confusing for people and say, like, you know, hey, we want to take the Visual Studio Express queue and make it simple enough for you to know when to use what kind of thing. So there is more work that the team is doing, and Windows 8 or Visual Studio Express for Windows 8 yesterday mm-hmm. should give you a feeling for how we are thinking about Express queues. But as we make more progress in the next several months, we'll be able to talk about, like, you know, hey, what does the Express queue structure looks like in Dev 11 or
Excellent.
Visual Studio 11.
Excellent.
Right.
Now, I would ask a similar question of you, and I've asked this before to, like, Mohsen and other people.
Sure.
Are there any thoughts about, like, you know, the ability to be able to use a Visual C++ Ultimate without anything else in it? So in other words, it's just like, remember VC6? That's so, anyway, I just wanted to throw that out at you because it could be interesting not to be integrated.
Right, sure. We have thought about, like, you know, hey, is it possible to, for you as a developer to define your profile and to be able to, like, you know, load only the things that you care about kind of thing,
yes,
right? I actually think we have done some work on that in the past, mm-hmm. and we want to figure out, like, you know, how to make it even more. See, the thing that we feel in today's world, particularly if you think about my earlier statement that, like, yeah. hey, we see the world as a broad, like, you know, 100 sort of million developers kind of thing, right? What people want is, like, you know, hey, I have a task that I want to get done. I have an idea. I want to translate that idea into reality. Give me a tool that is going to make me the most productive.
Sure.
Don't give me all these other things that I don't need about. Give me what I need. Mm-hmm. You know, make me productive, make me successful, and that's what I'm looking for, right?
Yeah.
So the tools guys, you know, Visual Studio guys are all thinking about, like, you know, what does it mean to us, right? How do we simplify the Express queues, right? Mm-hmm. How do we create profiles that makes it easy for you to do what you need to do without getting distracted by other things, right? Mm-hmm. So those are all things, you know, good things for us to think about and see how we can simplify what we deliver to you, yet knowing that, like, you know, hey, the world has got a lot of developers. Mm-hmm. You know, people want a choice of languages, people want a choice of environments, right? Mm-hmm. So you will have to balance, you know, the simplicity with the broad choice that people are expecting and figure out how to deliver something that maps to both.
Absolutely.
Right.
Excellent. Aha. So what is the future of WPF? Sorry,
right? Good questions, all good questions kind of thing, right? the first thing I would say is, like, you know, .NET 4.5 is what we are talking about this week.
Yeah.
Okay. And .NET 4.5 is going to be the next version of .NET, and it is going to ship with Visual Studio 11, and it will also be a part of Windows 8. And .NET 4.5 is going to contain the next version of WPF,
okay,
or Windows Presentation Foundation, right? There is a session this week at Build where we are going to talk about, like, you know, hey, what are all the new enhancements that we have done in WPF in the .NET 4.5 timeframe that people should go and sort of, you know, get a feel for kind of thing.
Sure.
I think the fact that we are shipping WPF in the next version of our products means that we are absolutely committed to supporting WPF for our customers. And Visual Studio itself, is both Visual Studio and Expression Blend are WPF applications. Mm-hmm. We use WPF ourselves, so we sort of believe in the technology.
Excellent. And it is interesting because I did see on the Visual Studio feedback website they asked to bring back native in the UI. So, you know, clearly
it goes back to people saying like, hey, I want this and I want that. Give me the choice, right?
Sure.
That is why we sort of thought long and hard about like, hey, should we sort of, steer people toward just one thing?
Mm-hmm.
Or should we really give people the choice? And we truly felt that like, for what we are trying to aspire in terms of the consumers and the developers that we want to reach with Windows 8, we absolutely wanted to give that choice.
Excellent. Right. Yeah, you guys have certainly done that.
Absolutely, yeah.
So please tweet questions to #CH9Live. We're here with Soma, who basically runs all of the tools that you use and love. So ask him questions. We have him live. Hey, right on. So Jay Bockers, is there an RTM quarter month date for VNext? Well, we already sort of talked about this.
Right.
So people like dates.
Sure. Unfortunately, there is no date to give out yet because for the simple reason that we don't know what the date is, right?
Yeah.
The team is working very hard. The team just finished delivering the bits that people are getting access to this week in terms of the developer preview. The team is now starting to think about what are the things that we need to get done, whether it is some enhancements to performance or fix few more bugs or add few more features or react to the customer feedback that we're going to get starting today.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have to sort of think about all the work that we need to get done between now and when we can get to a functionality complete, a high quality beta release.
Sure.
And then we'll think about when does an RC look like and when does RTM look like kind of thing, right? So
thank you.
Right.
So that should be clear, everybody out there. Victor Antofica, what is the future of VS Express Edition?
The good news is there will be VS Express Editions, okay? but what I really mean is if you go take a step back and think about what is the reason or what is the principle we had in mind when we came out with Visual Studio Express, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's to say we want to give you a way to get started in a simple way, particularly if you want to take advantage of the latest and greatest platform features and get going in the shortest possible amount.
Mm-hmm.
Let's give you a flavor of Visual Studio, right? That's going to be targeted, at a particular thing or a particular set of tasks that you can go do, right?
Sure.
That was sort of the original principle or set of principles that we had in mind when we started working on Visual Studio Express. We strongly believe in that principle as well.
Mm.
Now, as I said before, what will the set of Visual Studio Express queues look like in the Visual Studio 11 timeframe?
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be what we've sort of seen in the past? It's going to be what we are starting to see now? It's going to be something different? I think that is work under progress. And as soon as we sort of are in a position to be able to talk about that, we'll talk about that. But we know that we'll have a handful of Express queues that we feel are the most important for the 100 million developers that we're talking about, who we want to go get excited about building, whether it's Windows 8 applications or Windows Phone applications or Windows Azure applications, we absolutely want to provide a small number of Express queues. So Express queues absolutely has a future, and they'll be a part of Visual Studio 11.
Excellent. Now, as we always do, which is customary when we interview Soma, can you give me a sort of a closing, your thoughts?
Sure.
For the future,
Sure. Here is one way to think about it, right? I look at the opportunity. If I'm a developer sitting here in the audience,
yes.
What should the opportunity look like for me, right? And I say go back to that couple of things that I talked about. Think about the world of connected devices and continuous services. Okay. Think about the fact that when Windows 8 ships, there's going to be at least 500 million devices that have the potential to be upgraded to Windows 8, let alone all the new devices and the new form factors that are going to come up, right? Think about all the work that we are doing on Windows Phone, whether it is what we delivered so far with Windows Phone 7 and Mango, or the work that we are doing with Nokia and Samsungs and the LGs of the world and the HTCs of the world. There is a huge ecosystem that we are in the process of building, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you look at any kind of form factors on the devices, you look at on the back-end cloud, whether it is Office 365 or Azure or Bing or Windows Live, right? Mm-hmm. And think about the way to build experiences that run both locally and in the browser and a device,
mm-hmm.
and be able to connect it with the cloud and be able to offer the richest experience to your consumers, I would say Microsoft platform has got the biggest opportunity for developers.
Excellent.
Today, more than ever before, and more than anybody else out there in the world. So that's what is going to be exciting if I'm a developer sitting in the audience today.
Awesome. Well, hey, always great to talk
Absolutely.
To you, Soma.
Good talking to you, man.
Yes,
you're a natural doing this. Okay?
Thank you.
Hey, guys, and we're going to have the goo is in the house. Let's see if he's wearing his red shirt.